It's a show about women, for women, and empowering women. This is Cocktails and Conversation with Maureen Moore on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Hi, everyone. This is Maureen Moore here on Cocktails and Conversation here on 590 The Fan. And today's guest is Lisa Key, the Chief Development Officer at Emmaus Homes. And, you know, the cool thing about this is we met in a very unusual way. Of course, some of that I probably can't tell on the air, but I knew right away, she would be somebody that would be great to have on the show. So, Lisa Key, welcome.
Thank you.
And I knew you'd be good. You know, I mean, I think it was our first 10 words to each other. And it's like, you should be on my show.
Well, thanks. I appreciate
yeah.
that.
Yeah. So tell me all about you. Tell me, where are you from? Who are you? What do you do? Let's just kind of give the audience a little bit of information about the background on Lisa Key.
All right. Well, I'm not from Missouri. Mm-hmm. I'm not native. But I did go to high school here, so that counts, right?
And where'd you go to high school? The
Wentzville.
Old St. Louis thing. Wentzville. Okay.
Where'd you go to high school?
I was an Altoff girl. I was over in Belleville.
Oh, okay.
I was an Altoff girl. And thank God, because Notre Dame was the all-girls school in Belleville. And I thought for sure my mom would make me go to the all-girls school. And they didn't have any sports. And luckily, they closed 2 years before I was ready to go there. So I think they closed in anticipation of me, you know? I'm hoping that's what it was.
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
But I was born in Michigan, you know. So I was born in Ann Arbor, Michigan. My dad worked for the airlines. So we moved a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But we landed in Wentzville back when it was just this tiny little town
oh,
out
yeah?
there.
Mm-hmm.
And I graduated, went to high school there, and then I went away to college. I went to Southeast Missouri State, down
good
in
old
Boot
SEMO. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Where'd you go?
Good old SEMO. I went to St. Louis U.
Oh,
so I didn't stray too far.
No, you,
you know,
did not.
I didn't stray too far. And did your, what airline was your dad with?
It used to be Ozark, and then it was TWA.
And then it was American.
It's American.
Now it's
okay.
American.
Yeah.
Okay, so was he a pilot for
he
Ozark?
He was not. He was a mechanic.
He was. Ooh, yes. I wonder if he knew Bob Beckett. I used to call him Bobby Beckett, but Bob Beckett was the mechanic with Ozark.
Really? Oh, I'm sure they
yeah.
knew each other.
And so, and Bob and I grew up catty corner from each other in our parish, and truly, I called him Bobby Beckett. You know what I mean? And Bob's
yeah.
probably 10 years older than I am.
Okay.
But, and he married his wife, Joanne, is Joanne Beckett, and she was a flight attendant for
oh, sure.
Ozark. And then they both transferred, I think, to TWA. I'm sure they did. They both transferred to TWA. But, yeah, another good friend of my husband's was Mark Wallace, who was a flight attendant for Ozark. So, yeah, I remember the old Ozark days.
Do you remember when being a flight attendant was such a glamorous
job? Oh, glamorous, yeah. And, well, and Joanne was one of those people that was a glamour girl, you know. She was real pretty, and it made sense, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I worked for, gosh darn, British Caledonian Airways. And that was, but I wasn't a flight attendant. I was, I set up study abroad programs
oh,
for
really?
College kids right when I got out of college. I mean, literally, that was my job right out of college because I worked 8 days for Touche Ross and hated it and could not become the accountant I was expected and groomed to be. So with that, I went back to my college internship, which was at British Caledonian Airways, and said, could I get a job here? I like this much better.
Yeah.
And I set up study abroad programs for colleges.
My daughter just returned last week from Italy for study abroad.
Oh, did she love it?
She loved it. So she's yeah. She just graduated from Lindenwood. She's a double major, art history and
mm-hmm.
studio art. And so she went over there as part of the curriculum. And, you know, I mean,
it's
nothing
love it?
But art over there.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
to think about, you know, the history and stories mm-hmm. behind these pieces. I mean, it was an incredible experience for her. Absolutely.
Good for her that yeah. her parents let her do that, too.
Yeah.
You
absolutely.
Know, I mean, has she said, thank you, Mom and Dad? Thank you
many,
for letting
many
me do
times.
That?
Yeah. She wanted me to fly over mm-hmm. When she was done and, like, spend the week drinking wine,
mm-hmm.
which sounds lovely,
I could do
it?
That. Well, oh. you're doing it now. What are you? You're doing a Chardonnay now.
I am doing a Chardonnay.
Yeah.
I told her that only one of us could afford to go to Italy, and it wasn't me.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe some other time.
You're going, I still have to work. I'm trying to get my husband to Italy because when I worked for BCAL, that was one of the benefits
uh-huh.
is I could just hop a flight from St. Louis and, you know, we'd land at London Gatwick and go from there.
I've always wanted to go to Amsterdam. Have you been?
Just through it.
Okay.
Just through it. You know, I've never had the same probably affinity of going to Amsterdam as much as if I could go to Ireland once a year, I would.
Oh, really?
I love Ireland. If I could go to Italy twice a year and just eat,
right.
I would.
And drink wine.
Oh, yeah. I love Italy. And I don't think there's a city in Italy that I don't like, you know? I don't think, you know, it's like Milan is so different than Venice, you know? Venice is so different than Rome, you know, and I would really love to get my husband over to Italy. I was lucky to get him to Ireland when I did.
Does he just not like to travel?
He's, you know, he keeps saying he wants to stay in the States more and see places in the States he hasn't. And I was very fortunate growing up that we did spend a lot of time traveling in the States. But my mother felt that, you know, Belleville wasn't everything and that we should understand.
What?
Yes. And that I know. And that people should understand that there's a lot more to see than just one little town. And so, you know, we grew up across the river and would chase back and forth to St. Louis like it was across the street. But we went to Europe once a year.
Oh,
my
nice.
Mother would take us to Europe every summer for like 2 weeks.
Wow. Oh,
just
my.
So that we would spend time in Europe and really see it. And my mom was a day trader. She was a school teacher that quit teaching in 74, took out a retirement and became a day trader and was just an entrepreneur.
Wow, that's pretty incredible back then.
She
must be a very smart lady.
She was, but she was just very independent, and she had to be. My father died when I was 7 of a massive heart attack, so she was 39 and had 2 little girls to raise.
Sure.
So Ozark, I remember very well because they flew to Rochester, and my sister had to go to Mayo Clinic every 6 weeks on an Ozark DC-3.
Oh, my. You have a great memory.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was a DC-3 and, you know, and they were smaller and, you know, you hit a lot of turbulence.
Oh, yeah.
And so I just remember my mom always going, oh, you know, time to fly. Time. You know, she just hated. She hated being on the smaller planes. But that's Ozark, you know, jumped. Yeah. You know, that's the kind of plane that would jump from St. Louis to Rochester.
Was that a prop plane?
They were.
Oh, and they were so loud.
Loud. Very loud.
Very loud.
Yes. And in the beginning, my father would give my mother Manhattan to get her on the plane. And my mother was not a drinker. So one Manhattan calmed her nerves.
I understand.
Yes. Now I drink good Manhattans. You know what I mean? Because Bob Myers, he can make the best Manhattan
What's
around.
A Manhattan is whiskey?
Yeah. It's bourbon, whiskey. I get those mixed up.
Right.
All I know is it's got these really fabulous cherries in it.
Okay.
You know, and, you know, it's got the bitters and such. And so it's good. But Bob Myers makes the best Manhattan.
Good to know.
Yeah. And so good family friend, best friend of my husband's. But, you know, that's the thing. Not that we're really big drinkers. You and I are both sitting here having a cocktail today. But, you know, but we're drinking very responsibly.
I understand. I respect that.
Yeah. So tell me more. So you've got one daughter. Any other kids?
I have a daughter that's 21. She'll be 22 in July. And I have a son who is 18, and he just graduated high school.
And where did he go to school?
Orchard Farm. Have you heard of it?
No, where is Orchard
Farm?
Well,
it's in St. Charles. It's
a
smaller school up by, it's in the middle of a farm. There's a lot of open ground. Past Newtown. Do you know where Newtown is?
Yes, I do know where Newtown is. Yeah.
It's a great school district.
Yeah. Did he love it?
He didn't love school. He loved sports. He was the quarterback and the point guard, you know, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, he's doing well, and my daughter graduated from there as well, and she's on to the next part of her life, which is finding a big girl job and figuring out how to pay for graduate school.
And how is she going to get a big girl job with art history as her major? What
I
is she going to do?
Well, she's currently looking for graphic design work.
So oh, really?
She has a degree in graphic design as well.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's kind of what she's doing. She currently works at Topgolf.
Oh, is she having fun there?
Yeah, that place.
That's cool.
Well, why didn't we think of that idea?
Man.
They are printing money at that
they
place.
They are. They really are. You know, and when it was coming around, it was just like, oh, yeah, right, big deal. You know what I mean? Because you'd see kind of that kind of a range like in movies, you know, where it was something happening in New York. I just never had a feeling for it until I went out there one day just to have lunch with some friends.
Yeah.
And it was cold.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't matter. Place was packed. I was like, I could not believe how many people were at Topgolf.
Yeah. And it's that way all the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So good for them. Good for them that they thought that through. Maybe they need Saddleback chocolates there. You know, maybe they need our chocolates there.
Yeah.
That would be a good thing because we'll give Topgolf a little bit of top billing here and we'll give you and we'll sell you some Saddleback chocolates, you know. So that'll be good. So, okay. So you married. Who'd you marry?
Well, I just got married.
Okay.
So I was married to the father of my children when I was younger, and we got a divorce. And I was single for a number of years.
So you raised those kids on your own?
Pretty much, yeah.
God, love you.
I did. And then, you know, I dated, and then I didn't. And then
how
I
is
dated.
That dating? I can't even imagine dating now.
I'm not a good dater. How long have you been married?
We've been married 26 years, and we dated for 12 prior to that.
Oh, really? It took him a while, didn't it?
Yeah, he doesn't pull the trigger fast on anything. Yeah. Yeah. And I was very fortunate because I've known Mike my entire life. Literally.
Your husband.
He's 11 years older than I am. And so I've known him my entire life. Our parents were friends. So when I was 3 months old, he was 11 years old. And my parents forgot me in his parents' living room.
Oh, my God.
In a sound asleep in a bassinet. And he's the kid that came running through the living room and said, "Hey, they forgot their baby."
Oh, my God.
My mom said, we pulled into the driveway and said, "Paul, we forgot the baby there." Because I was a sleeper.
See, it was meant to be.
I guess so. But yeah, so we've been together a very long time.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and we were friends for a long time before we even dated. You know, we both were dating, and he knew my girlfriends. He knew my boyfriends, and I knew his girlfriends. You know, so that worked out well.
So who made the first move? Like to go from a friendship to a romance.
You know what? It was weird. I don't know. Because we used to sometimes just go have dinner together. Mm-hmm. And I think it just kind of worked out that the boy I was dating in college went off to law school from St. Louis U. He went to law school back in Boston. And the girl that Mike was dating, you know, he kind of had started to lose a little interest in her. And it just kind of worked out that it was a perfect time where we were both able to go, well, let's kind of start going on.
It was fate.
And our new chocolate that's got CBD, hemp CBD in it, is called Kismet, which means fate and destiny. Yeah, Kismet.
CBD infused chocolate.
CBD infused chocolate.
Is it good?
Oh my gosh, it's to die for.
Really?
It's so good, yeah. And you know, and I'll get you some because it's really good for people like with anxiety or any kind of inflammation. Or any kind of, you know, just like aches and pains or headaches, you know. And
I've heard
and,
that.
Yeah, it's great, but it's a CBD and actually Belief Oils, which is owned by Bob Meyer's wife, Mitch. Well, Bob and Mitch, they grow it in Eureka.
Nice.
And there's only two companies or only two licensed growers in Missouri. And so one is Belief. And we infuse all of ours with 100% Belief Oils.
Nice.
So it's wonderful. Yeah.
Sounds lovely.
Yeah. So when did you get married?
Got married about a year and a half ago.
Oh, really? And to whom? How long did you date? How'd you meet?
Hot husband. You know,
That's cool. Okay, say that again so that people really hear that.
My smoking hot husband.
Uh-huh.
He is so handsome. You know the odd story with...
Well, you guys would be a good pair then because you're good looking.
Oh, well, thanks. But so the kind of the weird story is that I knew him 30 years ago. So he dated a girlfriend of mine. And I always thought he was so handsome back then. And anyway, they eventually broke up. And he married somebody else, and I married somebody else, and it didn't work out. And by fate, our brothers are good friends. And one said to the other, "Hey, is Lisa dating anybody?" And my brother was like, "No." And so anyway, we met for lunch, and I walked in this bar restaurant. I was like, "Oh, my gosh.
You've not changed a bit,
You've just gotten better looking."
Wow.
Yeah. And great guy, and I dated him so prior to that, I was single for, I think 10 years.
Okay.
And, that is...
I guess that's hard, isn't it?
It is, especially, I think, when you're a career woman and, you know, you're a single mom, and it's just different, and you have to be very careful, you know. I was very particular about who my kids would meet. Just a couple of people, but... Yeah, there's just a lot. It's just different. It's different. I'm so glad to be married and not be single. Like now, Tinder, what is that? I mean, it's...
Yeah, I've heard of it, but I've never, you know, I don't even know anybody that's done any of that. Well, all that commotion,
people.
You know,
yeah,
I mean, it's,
all of it.
You know, I can't imagine meeting somebody online and going on a, you know, it's one thing to go on a blind date where somebody's setting you up and it's a friend of yours setting you up.
And they can kind of account for them.
Exactly.
That person, right?
That's just it. Compared to... somebody puts something out there in the airwaves and it's out there, and then you meet them and you're walking into a restaurant or any place, you don't know who you're meeting and you don't know really their background or who's vetted them. No matter how much the companies say that they've done that, no way in heck would I do it.
I had a rule when I was single that no man was ever allowed to pick me up at my home.
That's smart.
I would always meet them, mm-hmm. you know, at a restaurant or a bar or something. I was just very protective of my kids mm-hmm. and my personal space. But my husband's name is Randy, and once I was reacquainted with him, I just was like, thank you, Lord.
Now, is it Randy Key? Did you take his name?
I didn't know
with being, you know, a professional woman, if you kept your own name, you know, throughout, you know, or not.
No.
So. Good for you. And you didn't hyphenate either.
No, I didn't. I really just wanted to go all in, for mm-hmm. lack of a better way to phrase it. And, you know, professionally, it has been a little, I think, challenging at times. Uh-huh. But, you know, people are grateful and gracious about it. And it all worked out. And I like being Mrs. Key.
Good for you. Thank you. So what did you guys do? Did you have some big wedding?
Oh, no. Mm-mm.
Or just nice, quiet, simple? Or what did you do?
Yeah, you know what? I don't like to be the center of attention at all.
Why?
I don't know.
My God, you're so statuesque and so pretty.
No.
Well, I mean, you are just a knockout.
Well, thank you, but I don't like to be the
criminy.
Anyway, we looked for a small venue, and some dear friends of ours, Sean mm-hmm. and Diane Solly, own this gorgeous duck club. Mm-hmm. Is your husband a duck hunter?
No, not at all. But you know what? Ducks Unlimited, mm-hmm. the, you know, where our production facility, where our chocolate factory is, uh-huh. Ducks Unlimited, is the adjacent property in our whole property. It's all those guys. And so it's funny. Annie comes to work with me. Mm-hmm. All their labs come with them. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? And Annie's always trying to figure out a way to go get all the labs to go play.
Be
you
my
know.
Friend.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, so our friends have a beautiful duck club. And mm-hmm. It's one of my favorite places on earth. And we got married there. And it was small. I think we had 50 or 60 people there.
Right.
My daughter was my maid of honor. And my son walked me down the aisle. And
how cool.
Randy has a son. He has two sons. Uh-huh. His son was his best man. And our minister is a very dear friend of mine. And he married us. And it was just really intimate and small. And I loved it.
So it was all in the family.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Let's come back and talk a little bit more about the family and get into the rest of your world, okay?
Sounds good. This is
Maureen Moore here with Cocktails and Conversation. I've got Lisa Key here today, the newlywed. I mean, we can almost still say you're a newlywed at this point.
We could.
But we're here on 590 The Fan. You know, strong women, may we know them, may we raise them, may we be them, but may we praise them. So today we're praising Lisa Key from Emmaus Homes. We'll be right back.
We now return to Cocktails and Conversation with Maureen Moore on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
So we're back. This is Maureen Moore here on Cocktails and Conversation. I'm here with Lisa Key, the Chief Development Officer, the Queen of Fundraising for Emmaus Homes. And she does look like a queen.
Oh, you're so sweet.
So welcome back.
Thank you.
You know, thank you for being here today on 590 The Fan.
Thanks for asking me.
Absolutely. You know, when I meet people that are interesting and outgoing and effervescent, it's like right away, you got to be on the show, you know, because we need to keep promoting great women and women that are doing it all.
Agreed.
You're one of those people. You know, here you were married, then divorced, still had two kids to raise.
Yeah.
One just finished her whole college degree. So thank goodness.
Jesus.
Exactly. And thanks to a good mother, you know, that you raised a child that finished, in, you know, and got to finish in Italy, for crying out loud.
And
now a son, you know, now where's he going to go to school? Does he know?
You know, he's kind of weighing his options right
really?
Now. Yeah. He would like to play some football. And so mm-hmm. he's looking at a couple of different programs, but we're not real sure.
Okay. Well, being quarterback, is he thinking he can go, is he looking D1 or D2?
Well, I think he'd love to go D1, but I'm not sure that, you know, I just don't know. I don't know enough about it. I know I've watched him play since he was 6 years old.
Uh-huh.
And he loves it, and he's really good at it. And
what was his number?
Oh, my God, 12.
That was my husband's number.
Really?
My husband was the quarterback in high school, and his number was 12. Well, he was quarterback of the Mooners, and he was 12 for that, too, when he was at SIU Edwardsville. But he went to college on a full-ride basketball scholarship.
Oh, really?
To play basketball for SIU Edwardsville. But somehow he played football all the time and broke his arm playing football when he was, you know, also a quarterback. So
is your husband tall?
6'1".
Oh, okay.
Yeah, 6'1". You know, he was a guard or a point guard, whatever that is. He shot the ball a lot, you know. So it's kind of one of those, whatever that thing is, that's what he did, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're very fortunate to have people that are athletic. Did you play any sports?
You know, no, I look like I should have.
Yeah.
But I didn't. No, my brothers did. I have two brothers that played football and basketball. And in my family, you know, we're all tall. Everybody's tall.
Yeah.
So when you say your husband's 6'1", I don't think that's tall. But I think to a lot of people that's tall.
Right. Well, in college, when I was at St. Louis U, I dated a boy named Kevin Harrington. Kevin was 6'10".
Now that's tall.
That was tall.
Yeah.
And then on a bet in college, he was a resident RA, you know, mm-hmm. and so at SLU. And on a bet, and I don't know how much money, they shaved his head. And all I can remember is we had to go to this function, and it was like a gala or a formal. And the worst thing was watching him walk down West Pine, you know, into the quad.
Sure.
And it looked like a bowling ball, a shiny bowling ball on top of 6'10" body. And all I remember is thinking, oh, my God, he's going to ruin the whole party now, you know?
6'10".
Yeah, 6'10". His father was very tall, too. Yeah. And so.
So I dated a boy in college that was 6'10 or 6'11".
Uh-huh.
And I can remember watching him unfold himself from a car. And it was just like, it was like a slinky.
Yeah, isn't that wild? Uh-huh.
But, you know, you got to kind of feel for people like that. Not that I feel sorry for them, but everything isn't built to accommodate.
They're ducking
them
under every doorway.
Everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a nephew that's, I think, 6'5 or 6'6.
Mm-hmm.
And he travels a lot. And, mm-hmm. you know, the airplane seats, I mean, his knees are at his chest.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
crazy.
Well, and think about that. Think, because you got to travel so much.
Right.
You know, you had, if you guys started in Ann Arbor, when did you end up down in St. Louis?
I was probably in my early teens, so,
okay.
Yeah.
And you had that ability to travel free anytime, anywhere.
We did.
Now, with your father obviously retired,
uh-huh.
do you still have all those benefits? Or
we don't.
Know,
my dad passed away a year ago.
Oh, gosh, I'm so sorry.
Oh, thank you.
Gosh. So, his benefits of all the travel went by the wayside when you guys left TWA, or what?
They did. But interestingly enough, you know, my daughter, her boyfriend's in Los Angeles, and his mom works for American Airlines, and so they travel, you know.
That's
I'm
nice.
Going to hop on a plane and come see you tonight, which is nice
mm-hmm.
if they have a seat for you.
Yeah, back in the old days when I worked for British Caledonian Airways, and then after that I went with my boss to Continental and negotiated cargo contracts. But, you know, back in those days, you could just show your ID and jump any plane. I mean, it was a whole different world, and it was funny. I was looking at flight attendants one day. And I used to negotiate the cargo, the extraordinary cargo, special cargo contracts for the East Coast. So I would leave St. Louis, where I had my house in Belleville. I would leave St. Louis on like a 6 a.m. flight, on a TWA flight, because we had the, you know, the relationship with TWA, because Continental didn't have a flight to Cleveland. And so I would fly St. Louis to Cleveland on TWA.
Mm-hmm.
Land there, walk about 80 steps from the gate to my office that was right there,
mm-hmm.
and then find out where I was traveling all week. And so sometimes I'd fly 2 times, 3 times in a day, just, you know, going to meet with whoever the cargo,
sure.
the cargo purchaser was, you know, the client, and then go to the next stop and
sure.
maybe end up in Charlotte that night, you know, but start out at LaGuardia or something. It was wild. That was a wild ride, but thank God I was young and I could do it.
Right. I remember when I was in undergrad school down in Southeast that I could fly home.
Mm-hmm.
They had, I don't know, I think it was TW Express or something.
Okay.
It was a little puddle jumper.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember many times being the only person on the plane.
Yeah.
And I'd even pay for the seat, right?
Yeah.
But you'd go to like Peoria and all those little
all those puddle jumpers, yeah.
Before you got home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was wild. You know, so what we were doing is talking offline a little bit about our careers and how we got into everything. And how did you get into fundraising?
You know, I fell into it. And I think that's
how some of us do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially those of us that have been in the business mm-hmm. for a while. So when I graduated with my undergrad degree, I didn't really have a job, and the job market wasn't mm-hmm. great at that time.
What was your undergraduate degree in?
Marketing.
Okay.
And I graduated in the late 80s. The job mm-hmm. market wasn't great. So for the first probably 6 months, I was a substitute teacher, and I bartended. And then I saw a position posted at a small nonprofit organization. I thought, well, I don't know.
What the heck?
Right?
If I can talk to people and bartend, I mean,
right.
you know, I can market anything.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And it was a one-person shop,
uh-huh.
so which is a great way to learn the business, right? You wear so many different hats.
Right.
It was, I think, director of community relations was the title.
Okay, which is fun because then you get to give away a little money as well as raising it.
But I did grant writing. I did special events. I did, you know, campaigns. I did all the advertising, all the press. You just did everything. And I was there. I really fell in love with the population we served, which were adults with developmental disabilities. And I was, you know, I'm kind of that bloom where you're planted girl. I don't, like I never had this big career plan of what I wanted to do, but I really loved the work and the mission. So, you know, I stayed there for about 8 years. And then
really?
I did, yeah. And then
is that organization still around?
It is. It originally the name was Boone Center Workshop. Now it's called BCI. Okay. And I think they probably have about 300 employees with DD that work to perform, you know, this sort of subcontract work in a sheltered environment.
Okay. So that's something interesting because we've been working with the Bridges program, which is District 201 in Belleville, which are the kids like the 18 to 22-year-old kids. It's that same type of a program of sheltered, you know, teaching the kids, giving them, you know, giving them skills for life skills to actually, you know, actually work towards a job.
Yep.
And so it's so nice. In those programs are so needed and so necessary.
Absolutely, they are.
So you left there and then what?
Yeah, I had a board member at that organization that really liked the work that I was doing. Mm-hmm. And she worked in healthcare, and so she recruited me to join SSM Healthcare.
Okay.
So I went to work for Catholic Healthcare, and I joined, I think, as a director of development, a very sort of basic position. But within 6 months, pardon me, she decided to leave, and so they sort of fast-tracked me into her position, and she was a vice president. And so I went from a pretty small organization to a large organization with multiple hospitals and all that goes with that. But I had some great mentors. I had some people that sort of encircled me and, you know, taught me what I needed to know. I had great board members that wanted me to be successful. And so ultimately I grew to become a senior vice president of external affairs with SSM, and I was over three hospitals. And
that's great.
Yeah, I really
Which hospitals did you have?
St. Joe Health Center, and then Hospital West in Lake St. Louis. And then towards the end of my time there, they had acquired a behavioral health hospital in Wentzville, and so I was over all three of those.
Okay. So did really you know a gentleman by the name of Steve Hoven?
Oh, yeah. He does governmental affairs.
Steve and Jill.
Steve
and Jill were old friends of ours. Now, they don't. They live out of the area now.
Oh, did he retire?
He retired, yeah. And but why was it that Mike Moore told me he ran into Steve? I think he ran into Steve at a, at a St. Louis Sports Commission function.
Okay.
Yeah, I think they were at the ball game together.
Yeah, Steve's a great guy.
Personality plus.
Yeah,
and then
absolutely.
Some. And Jill, God love her. You know, I mean, you know, to walk into a room all the time with Steve, and she could hold her own.
Yeah.
She was great, yeah.
Yeah.
So, and Patty Arnold. Was Patty Arnold over with you guys at all?
So I know Patty through St. John's.
Okay. Yeah, isn't that funny?
Yeah. I think she left St. John's.
She did. I think she's at the Botanical Garden now.
Oh, is she?
Well, you know what? And I didn't get to talk to her because we were at the BJC at the Foundation 20th anniversary for Siteman.
Oh, okay.
Last weekend. And that was at the Ritz. And so Mike and I were there. And Patty was Mike's table partner.
Okay.
You know, because we were... You know, it was, you know, it's kind of nice. They always kind of take the husbands and wives and everybody gets split up and you sit with other people and stuff. So I had, I had Lisa Nichols and her daughter by me. And it was great because it was a nice table of folks. We were there as guests of Laura and Mike Herring. Because Laura and Mike they gave a donation of $1 million that night.
Isn't it
awesome?
Isn't
that great? It's a legacy gift that Mike and Laura did, you know, in honor of... all the great work being done at Siteman, and it was the 20th anniversary, and Saddleback Chocolates created the chocolates for, you know, for the 600 guests, and so
you know,
very nice.
St. Louis is such a philanthropic area. It's crazy.
That's true, and that's exactly what so many people spoke about that night, how wonderful St. Louis is.
It is.
And you've really been in the fundraising your entire career.
My entire career, and completely by accident.
Yeah, isn't that wild?
It is, but you know, I mean, I'm just amazed. St. Louis takes care of their own and others.
And others. Mm-hmm.
And it's small gifts, it's big gifts, it's legacy gifts. I mean, I think back over my career, and I think one of the largest gifts I ever worked on was around $8 million. Mm-hmm. And I worked with that family for about 3 years.
Right.
But honestly, Maureen, if you went to their home, they were the most modest, down-to-earth people. You would never have known that they had those kind of resources to give away.
Well, and it's funny because that's just it. At St. Louis U when I was at SLU, and I kind of, you know, I'd been with Prairie State Games and State Games of America, and, you know, kind of, it was kind of one of those funny things where I kept getting called by a gentleman at St. Louis U, and then when I finally ended up there, and Father asked me to take over and start the whole arena project. You know, we didn't have any money, and Father's like, okay, you're going to take this over, and we need to do this in 19 months. The funny thing is the people that had the most to give were sometimes the most modest.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, unassuming folks, mm-hmm. but they were the kindest mm-hmm. people, and they weren't demanding. They weren't, you know, it was really a great adventure. But I'm telling you, after we got that accomplished and got the building up and opened up Chaffetz, you know, in 2007, I was just like, I want to do something else. I want to start giving away the money,
that
you know.
Fun.
It was great. I went to Peabody Energy, and it was wonderful. We started a program called Leaders in Education and for Peabody, and it was great because it was really honoring all types of educators, you know.
So about what did you guys give away on an annual basis?
It was about $1 million for the entire project, mm-hmm. and that included, you know, staff and travel and everything. But it was the nice part is that we would affect educators' lives with a $1,000 check.
Oh, yeah.
We would literally, yeah. I would give out about $130,000 checks a year. If it would be Indiana, you know, Illinois.
How fun.
It was great. Missouri. It was anywhere where we had operations yeah. or where we had any kind of corporate presence or operations presence. So Wyoming, Colorado. So I'd be seen in a grocery store at night sometimes, like say in Wyoming. And I had kids go, that's the coal lady. The coal lady was here today, you know, because I'd been at their school.
Sure.
And I would surprise educators.
Oh, how fun.
Teachers, coaches, school secretaries, the librarians, the cooks, you know, I mean, it was everybody that had a hand in helping to inspire a child, kindergarten through 12th grade. And we had, everything was done anonymously so that all the nominations were made, the applications were looked at anonymously, you know, so that really it was based on the merits of the nominated folks. And that's how they received the awards. And it was their money. It didn't go to school. It was their $1,000.
Oh, really?
It was their $1,000 that they could take it. They could drop it on a horse. You know, they could drop it on Mary Jean's Wildcat in the eighth race, you know, and that would be fine.
How many years did you do that?
I did it several. Six or seven, I guess. Yeah, several years. And at the same time, I started building Saddleback Chocolates as kind of my retirement project.
Really?
And I just didn't realize that we were going to, that Peabody was going to go through such tough times, you know, as far as the coal industry
sure.
did. You can't really be giving away money when, you know, when you're being forced to close down
sure.
facilities or lose employees that have been with you for 30 years. You can't really be giving them money,
yeah.
you know.
No,
so,
I agree.
Yeah, so it was a good transition time.
Yeah.
You know, so I was very lucky. So how and when did you end up at Emmaus?
So, you know, after SSM, I was recruited away to join another organization.
I bet.
And I joined an organization called Show Me Aquatics and Fitness, and it's a small organization in St. Mm-hmm. Charles. And they hired me to be their president and CEO.
Cool.
But really what they wanted is they needed a bond issue passed. And so they engaged me to work with elected officials mm-hmm. to create a campaign to pass a $40 million bond issue to build a community center. And so...
Oh, that is so big. That is so big. We're gonna come back and hit that harder, okay? Because this is Maureen Moore here with Lisa Key, and we are on Cocktails and Conversation here on 590 The Fan. We'll be right back to hear the rest of that story. So raise your glass if you are young.
We now return to Cocktails and Conversation with Maureen Moore on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
So we are back here on 590 The Fan. This is Maureen Moore with Cocktails and Conversation. And our guest today is Lisa Key. And what's cool about Lisa is she is truly a woman that can raise funds anytime, anywhere, with anyone.
Oh,
you know?
There you go.
Yes. And so... cool, calm, and collected, but what a great radio voice,
Thank you.
You do. You do have a good voice.
Thanks.
So, Lisa Key, welcome back.
Thank you.
And so tell me about this whole bond issue and what you had to do for...
Show Me Aquatics?
Yes.
Yeah, so I don't even know what I didn't know about politics, but I worked in collaboration with the City of St. Charles to you know, roll out a public campaign mm-hmm. to pass a bond issue. And prior to my joining the organization, they had attempted to take it to the voters, and it had been defeated. And so they really sort of needed somebody that, well, you know, as a fundraiser, you're
yeah.
well known, right?
And you got to have those relationships, yeah. and you figure out which relationships are going to really kind of yeah. bring it together.
And mm-hmm. that's what it was about. So it was really the sort of the external person for the organization. And I always tell people about my time at Show Me that it was the fastest, hardest work I've ever done. I'd mm-hmm. never worked on a political campaign. I had no idea what went into it. And all sort of the, it's sort of like how the sausage is made. Like, do you really?
Oh, yeah.
That was kind of what it was like. But I remember the day of the actual election that we had, you know, all of these volunteers that we had deployed to the polling stations. And I can remember it was, you know, like 98 degrees in St. Louis, and it looked like it was going to pass. And, you know, KMOX or KMOV called for an interview, and I had to like race home, and I'm like toweling off my face,
uh-huh.
and, you know, changing shirts in the car to go on air and to have this interview. And it did pass, and it was
good
it
for you,
by like a 73% vote.
Oh my gosh,
yeah.
great work!
Yeah, it was great work. Sadly, though, right after that, I left because my work there was done, right?
Uh-huh.
I've been
yeah.
hired for this mission. But right after that, the economy tanked. And so they ultimately never did build the center. I know.
Really? Because I was going to ask, how is yeah, everything going you know, now? So they never built it.
That was sort of when construction tanked. And uh-huh. know, it was just a really, really tough time. It was hard for them to raise money. So I think they put it on hold for a little while, and they shelved it. And they may go back and revisit it one day. But then that's when I joined Emmaus Homes.
So the Show Me, so that was going to be in St. Charles County.
It was. Yeah, it was St. a Charles. Joint venture between the city and mm-hmm. then Show Me Aquatics.
Isn't there another big recplex out there that was built for the Olympic Festival? Where is
St.
that?
Peter, yeah, in St. Peter's.
In St. Peter's.
Recplex,
okay.
Yeah. I think it was built for the diving trials or something.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a nice facility.
That's a nice facility. Mike
yeah.
Moore used that for State Games of America, I know.
Yeah.
That's why I was wondering. So that's how then you ended up at Emmaus.
I did.
Okay.
So, sort of feels like it came full circle.
Mm-hmm.
Emmaus was founded by the United Church of Christ, and I'm a lifelong member of the United Church of Christ. And I grew up knowing about Emmaus, but I'd never...
Again, all in the family?
Yeah, pretty much. Mm-hmm. Isn't it strange? So they asked me to join the organization about 12 years ago, and
mm-hmm.
I have and never looked back. And, you know, historically how... So Emmaus, I need to say this, Emmaus provides services to adults that are developmentally disabled.
Right.
So we serve about 250 clients. We provide residential services. So if you think about years ago, historically how... You know, the folks that we care for were served, it was in an institution on a campus, right? It looked like huge, archaic buildings.
Right.
When I joined the organization, that is definitely what it looked like. We had a campus in St. Charles, and then we had a campus in Marthasville.
Yeah. Okay.
So shortly after, you know, coming on board, our board of directors made the decision to transition the clients in St. Charles to the community. And so they live in homes just like you and I do, right? A 3 or 4 bedroom ranch home in a nice neighborhood. And there's typically 2 or 3 of our clients that live together. And then we have round the clock staffing. So it's been a hugely successful transition for them.
So now your staffing, they don't live there. They
nope.
just basically, they still have their own homes
yep.
and families,
yep.
and they just, they're there
yep.
on a round-the-clock basis
yep.
of like 12-hour shifts or whatever.
Yeah, they typically 3 8-hour shifts.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's allowed for our clients to become more involved in the community.
And more independent probably,
absolutely.
Too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely. And it's been hugely successful. So we sold that campus in St. Charles. It's about 100 acres, and now it's, I think McBride Homes and others have built new homes on it. We just transitioned our last client off the Marthasville campus just a few months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so now all of our clients live in the metropolitan area. So 5 counties, St. Louis, St. Charles, the city of St. Louis, Warren, Franklin, and Lincoln County.
Did their families have anything as far as anything to say about where they would live? Or...
Yeah.
Okay.
So what happens is when we transition a client, we meet with mm-hmm. the client and their family or guardian,
mm-hmm.
and they identify where they'd like to live. And if we can make that happen, we mm-hmm. we usually do. Now, I think if a client wanted to live in Ladue or Frontenac, we probably couldn't pull that off
right.
because of the housing.
uh-huh.
But most of our clients, you know, they want to be fairly close to their friends and other family members.
Mm-hmm.
And so the bulk of our homes are in St. Charles County, but we are growing in Warren and Franklin counties as well. And interestingly enough, we don't own most of our homes. So we have about 80 community homes. I think we own 2, and that's, you know, for reasons that I don't know, so whatever, the math didn't work, but the bulk of them are owned by angel investors. That these are folks just like you and I that believe in the mission and ministry of Emmaus, and they want to be able to support our clients.
And so your clients, you know, tell us a little bit more about your clients, the age and the capabilities
and
such.
So we serve adults, so over the age of 18. Mm-hmm. And DD, or developmental disability, means that they acquired that disability prior to reaching an adulthood. So they could have been born with it, right?
Okay.
Perhaps Down syndrome, autism, or anything mm-hmm. on the spectrum. Or it could have been that they were in an accident and received a head injury, and so they need services. We serve clients from 18 to 80 plus. And okay. You know, the great thing about Emmaus is we've been around for 125 years, and we have a phenomenal, well-earned reputation because our staff members are, I mean, the absolute lifeblood of the organization. And so, you know, it's not unusual for us to serve a client for 50, 60, or 70 years. Mm-hmm. Like, it's very unusual if a client ever comes into service with us that they leave, just because we're so good at what we do.
Now, is there any state funding, federal mm-hmm. funding that helps support that? I mean, do their families have to be independently wealthy to be able to have them come live with you?
No. We have a few families that are private pay that they, you know, they pay for their services. But most of our clients receive funding through Social Security and through other methods. And so our primary source of funding comes through the state of Missouri with a federal match. And so, you know, I always tell people that for every dollar of care that we provide in service, about 90 cents of it is covered through state and federal funding sources. Mm-hmm. But that remaining 10 cents, that's what my team works to raise, and that equals more than $2 million a year.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. And now, do they have to be a Missouri resident to be able to live at Emmaus Home?
They do, if they want to receive any funding from the state. Now, if it's private funding, I'm certain that we could serve them, but yes.
So, but somebody that, say, is an Illinois resident... Mm-hmm. They could not come and say, I want to come live at Emmaus Homes.
Not unless they were going to pay for the service by themselves. Yeah. Okay. But Illinois has programs very similar to ours.
They do?
They aren't as good as ours, mm-hmm. but very similar.
Is that like, what are some of those? I don't even know.
There's a...
Is that like that Beverly Farms?
Yes.
Is that?
Beverly
okay.
Farm. Yes.
Okay.
I had to think. I was there not too long ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you and I came into contact because of, you know, the generosity of Bob and Jane Kehoe.
Absolutely.
And so God rest their souls. I mean, it's they were firm believers, and mm-hmm. because of Jane's brother, David Wetzel, mm-hmm. that, you know, that they were firm believers in you know, Emmaus Homes. And David was literally a resident with you for several years.
Yes.
I'm going to say over 30 years.
I think he
years.
Lived on the Martha's Hill campus.
He did, yes. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, Jane had a great affinity for her brother's care,
sure.
and what you guys had done. And so firsthand, I know that it was a wonderful way for David to live and be able to enjoy his life, and that Jane and Bob could be comfortable with it.
Sure, yeah.
So, yeah. So.
And it's not uncommon that we receive gifts like that because, mm-hmm. you know, families are so grateful.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that their loved one was provided this level of service and allowed to blossom and grow. And also, you know, we don't talk about this enough, but what about the family members? I mean, you know, many years they're spending time caring for their loved one in their home, and physically, oftentimes, they become unable to do so. And so it gives them a new sense of freedom as well, you mm-hmm. know, and so it really benefits everybody all the way around.
Well, and I think the best part is, especially with Emmaus Homes, is the nice thing is it gives the folks that live there, your clients, the ability to have some independence, and they don't have mm-hmm. parents or siblings always hovering over them.
Right.
Instead, they're like, you know what, I am doing some things on my own, and I actually love living independently. Mm-hmm. And with that little extra help that they have as far as through your staffing, it makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We have a story of a young man that came into service with us, and he has autism, and he has, along with that, some behavioral issues. Mm-hmm. He's nonverbal. I mean, you sort of name it. His family had cared for him for years. It was placing severe demands on their mm-hmm. marriage. And so, you know, he came into service with us, and, you know, his mom tells me now, you know, when he lived at home, he would eat like three things. Only three things, you know, like French fries and, I don't know, mac and cheese or something else.
Uh-huh.
He's now moved into a home that is served by Emmaus. He has wonderful roommates, wonderful staff. He eats anything under the sun, loves it all. He does chores. He's nonverbal. And so both our staff and the client went and took sign language classes. And so now he can communicate. You've seen his behaviors drop significantly because he's not as frustrated.
Because people can actually understand him now.
Mm-hmm. And the family is happy and he is happy. Everybody's thriving. And that's exactly what we're here for. So, yeah.
Well, in Emmaus, it's not just local. In Emmaus is not just something that happens in Missouri. I mean, aren't there other locations or part of the foundation?
Emmaus is just in Missouri, but there are other providers like us throughout the United States.
Okay, okay. I thought that there might have been some other Emmaus, part of it. What does Emmaus mean?
It's a story in the Bible about how some folks were walking down the road. And they were on their way to have supper, and Jesus joined them. And they didn't recognize him, right? And so when they actually sat down and shared a meal, Jesus was revealed to them. And it was on the road to Emmaus.
How cool is that? Yeah. See? And again, destiny.
It is. Absolutely.
It's destiny. So you're there. You're not going to leave. You definitely want some.
Can I have your job?
Yeah. Which one? Which one? You want to be slinging chocolate or have racehorses right now? So what's your goal for this year? Is it 2 million again?
Easily. Yeah. And we'll surpass that. We've had a really good year. I was working with a family. Over the last year, because, large gifts take time.
They do take time.
It's all about relationships. I always say major gifts, it's a long, slow dance, and it really, really is.
It is, yeah.
And so I was working with a family for a significant six-figure gift, and we're closing that this year.
Congratulations. Congratulations.
Thank you. We have a great event called Duck Fest.
Okay.
So we have more duck hunting clubs in the state of Missouri than they do in Arkansas, which Stuttgart, Arkansas, is the duck capital of the world. So we have this great group of guys that came to us and said, we really like Emmaus and its mission and ministry. We want to host this event. So we're planning, it's the sixth annual Duck Fest.
And when is it?
It's in September, the second Saturday of September, and it's at Lakeside 370 Park. Which is currently underwater because of all the flooding.
Yeah, but the ducks are loving it.
Yeah, exactly. But
and the ducks are going, can't catch me. I'm far enough away.
But, usually there's more than 1,000 people there. We've got phenomenal sponsors like Purina and Flynn Drilling and T.R. Hughes Construction. It's,
Now, are they all out there catching or shooting ducks that day or what?
We have a duck calling contest. Okay. We have raffles. We have live music. Trixie Delight's going to be there this year.
Great.
We have great food. We have a lot of beer. It's just a big party that celebrates every, it sort of celebrates the kickoff to hunting season. And it just gets bigger and better every year.
You need chocolate there.
I do need chocolate there.
You need
would
chocolate
you like
there.
Would to come out?
We would. Okay. We would. We'll figure that out. Because, you need chocolate there.
Yeah, because, a lot of women come to this event, too.
Oh, yeah.
They have their wine, and they stand around and visit. And yeah, it's a great event. Yeah.
Well, in doing that, what else are you going to do? Are you going to do any other big fundraisers this year, or is it strictly that one, and then everything else is all a one-on-one or relationship building?
We're going to do a golf tournament, Topgolf.
Are you really?
Yeah, we are. We are just in the very initial planning stages of it, but they do a lot of events there and I guess are very successful.
Hmm.
Gives people the opportunity to come out and go to this great venue, great food, great drinks. So yeah, that's going to be another one for us as well.
Well, pick it in the cold weather because that'll be kind of cool for people. They'll have something to do.
Absolutely.
Now, since I did say you are going to stay there forever at Emmaus. What other goals do you have? I mean, are you thinking that you guys are going to have to open up other homes, or what are you thinking?
I'm not sure yet. So while it's a great organization, the one thing that we really struggle with is staffing. We have a pretty high turnover rate.
I was wondering,
And it's because, the bulk
it's
of our
demanding.
Work. It's demanding work. And so the bulk of the work is provided by our frontline workers. And we struggle to keep pace with other employers. Like recently, we raised our starting salary to $12 an hour. Well, when we did that, Target went to 14, and Amazon is our next door neighbor out there, and they're getting ready to hire 5,000 employees.
Oh my goodness!
And and I think their starting salary is $15 or $16 an hour, and so that's sort of what we battle with. It's and our funding, it's much tougher to receive funding for our services because they come through the state.
And you're always depending on what's the Senate and the Congress.
Yeah,
gonna, what
exactly.
are they going to do?
What's
and,
the governor going to do?
Yeah.
And so we're always competing with for-profit industries. And, we all know, the unemployment rate is incredibly low yes. right now. Mm-hmm. I serve on a bank board where, you know, one of the gentlemen was talking about how he's in the sod business and they can't even get or keep a sod layer or installer or whatever you call that for $40 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
$40 an hour.
Yeah, $40 an hour.
And they can't keep people. My husband owns his own company. It's heavy equipment and construction. He talks about the struggle to find and retain employees, you know. And mm-hmm. if you've got a bad employee, you can't necessarily fire him because you don't have anybody else to come yeah. in and fill the seat. So it's a real struggle.
Gosh. Well, I wish you well in that battle. I wish you well in that endeavor, and we wish you well, and thank you so much for being
here
today.
Thanks for having me.
You know, this has been very interesting, and I have to say, you know, having the benefit of meeting you,
yeah.
you know, out at Emmaus, out at the corporate headquarters, was really a treat for me.
And
it was, and we were very thankful that we could be, you know, be meeting with you based on,
yeah.
on a giving opportunity. Thank you so very much, Lisa Key, for being here as a guest on Cocktails and Conversation. You have to drink up the rest of your wine,
oh,
dear.
Okay.
And, you know, cheers to your daughter
thank
in her
you.
New endeavors and to your son finding a great place to land,
yes.
to get his education and play football. May the road to Emmaus continue to be paved with kindness and good fortune and people that will donate.
Thank you. That's very sweet.
So thank you. Thanks a lot. This is Maureen Moore here on Cocktails and Conversation. Look at our podcast. Listen to our podcast. Look at our website on 590 The Fan. And it's Maureen Moore at Cocktails and Conversation. Strong women, may we know them. May we raise them. May we be them. And in your case, Lisa Key, may we praise them. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Take care, folks. See you next week.